Last week, and we're going to kind of pick up with this where we are in the part 2B on our study guide here, looking at, you know, teaching the message to different people and how we go about doing that. And I was talking, we were talking about connecting the dots. You remember that? You know, that sometimes when we study with people, that especially folks that really don't know a whole lot about the Scriptures, then one of the things that is very helpful to them is to connect the dots and be able to help them to see the complete picture by making connections of things perhaps in the Old Testament to things in the New Testament and just kind of giving them a basic picture of things. And so that's what this survey of Bible history is all about. It is very, very basic. And that's the reason that I do it that way is because I don't, you know, we don't need to try to go into too much detail all at once because people get overwhelmed. What you want to do is just be able to paint a really kind of a broad picture that's very general, very basic, but again allows them to be able to connect the dots so that they can make this picture of how different things are connected. So what this survey does is it begins at the story of creation, and it just kind of goes through, and it highlights, again, as I told you last week, key people and key events in Bible history that will allow them to connect people and things together. So, you know, they can look at this, and they can be able to, you can show them, where does Abraham fit in? Where does Isaac and Jacob and Moses and so forth? Where we talk about, you know, the kings and this period of the kingdoms and, you know, where does that fit into all of this and the judges and so forth? So this is basically, it's just a survey highlighting, again, key people, key events. And again, I would just suggest to you, if you're using this to study with someone and helping them, then, you know, I've got on the, you know, we've got the event on the column on the left, and then the right is, you know, some information about that particular event or something associated with that person or what have you. And again, this is just some basic stuff. Help them to understand these things, and you have provided that person with a good, solid, basic foundation of Bible knowledge that they will be able then to build on, and that's really what you're trying to do. If you're trying to take someone, you know, and teach them everything there is to teach them, you know, in a short period of time about the Bible, then you're going to lose them right off the bat. But if you focus on something like this where it's just a survey and you're just highlighting on things, then you can always come back as you're continuing your study and you fill in, you know, all, you know, the details more and so forth on this. And this will generate a lot of questions, you know, from them. And you can go back and spend more time on, you know, on those things that they, you know, want to know more about and so forth. But this is a really good foundational thing to use with folks in being able to do exactly what I said. Connect the dots for them, okay? And it will carry you from, again, the story of creation all the way through to the book of Revelation, all right? Now, the other sheet that I gave you, and I mentioned this to you back several weeks ago, this is the basically kind of a history of different churches, you know, and that's one of the things that I have found over the years in studying with people. One of the first questions a lot of people ask is, you know, where do all these churches come from? I mean, there's just all these different, you know, denominations out there. Where do they all come from? And this basically, and this chart, by the way, is found in the in one of the books from the Jewel Miller Visualized Bible Study series. And I just kind of took it and wrote it all out, you know, and so forth. But it's really a good thing here that shows where each of those different churches, the main churches, have come from, where, when they developed, and kind of how this whole thing came about. Just for simple explanation, the way way I drew this thing out, you start up there in the left top corner where the Bible is. Then you come down from that, and basically what you're following there is the history of Roman Catholicism. Okay, and if you go through and you read through the history books and you look up Christianity in history books, that's basically what it's going to follow, is Roman Catholicism. Okay, and then into the development as it branches down to 1054, rather, where there was a split in the Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church. And then from the Roman Catholic Church, you have these other groups that have branched off, and it has the dates of when those particular groups started. And, you know, from there, each one of those different groups, you know, if you look at and you study, you know, do any studies on denominationalism, then you would take each one of those, Lutheran Church, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Protestant, you take each one of those and you draw a whole bunch of lines off of each one of those, because each one of those have splintered into, you know, various different groups and so on and so forth. And so that's kind of where those things have developed. With the Greek Orthodox Church, you also have included in that branches of, you know, the Russian Orthodox and so on and so forth. But that whole group is a group of people, of folks that have broken away from the Roman Catholic Church. And depending on what group they're associated with in terms of, again, whether it's Russian, Ukrainians, Greeks, or what have you, they are in that body of the Orthodox churches. But if you go back up to the Bible at the top and you take that line at the very top of it, then what you see is the statement there that Jesus made to Peter in Matthew 16, that he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And he said that the gates of hell will not prevail over the church, right? I am convinced, and based on that text alone, I am convinced that, and the Bible teaches, and we've talked about that before, that the church, there's only one church, and that church is made up of all people who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Okay? And I am convinced that there have been throughout history, there have been people who have been following the teachings of Christ, trying to do that as faithfully as can be, all throughout history, while, you know, all this other stuff was going on over here. There have been folks who have been just trying to follow and be faithful to the teachings of Christ outside of all the denominationalism. And that's what that line represents. And then, of course, you run out of paper at the end of that page, so I kind of had to curve it down there. Just basically represents the same church today, where people who are trying just simply to obey what the gospel teaches, denounce denominationalism and just be Christians according to what the scriptures teach. And so that's basically what that represents. Okay? So those are two things. I keep these things tucked in my Bible so that I have them, you know, when I'm studying with folks, it's ready reference that you can take out and use it to study with people in that way. So I'll give those to you. They don't cost you anything extra this morning. You get that on your class membership fee that you pay. Okay? All right. Are we, you know, we need to start giving, what are those things called, dear, that you get, those credits, a continuing education credits. We need to start giving those things out, you know, for you know, all these different kinds of things you can attend these. Anyway, I'm just rambling. Okay, we were looking at Paul and Barnabas. We're in Acts chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas are on this missionary journey, and they began, as we saw last time, they began in the synagogue teaching the Jews, and they began in doing that with basically a kind of a history of the Jewish people and how how the Christ that was crucified is the fulfillment of the scriptures that they were supposed to be familiar with. But there's basically that history, and that's kind of where we got onto this thing and why, you know, we're talking about connecting the dots and so forth, that we do the same thing, except we're not teaching Jews, we're teaching mostly Gentiles, but we still need to be able to teach the history, and that's what that whole thing is all about. But then we move on from there, and now they're teaching Gentiles. Okay? So as they go into, they're in Iconium, and they have kind of some mixed results there, right? They start teaching amongst the Jews, They get some who are accepting, receptive to their teaching, but then they have some opposition. Notice that it says here in the last part of verse 1 there, there they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. Verse 2, but the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So, you know, we have this opposition going on that is stirred up by the Jews. So they end up leaving from there because there's a plot that is made to bring harm to them and so forth. So they head on to a place, to two different towns or cities called Lystra and Derbe. And it's in this place that they find a man who is crippled, and he's been crippled from birth. And Paul heals him, okay? And what then is the result? What happens? And keep in mind that this is amongst a group of Gentiles, pagans, okay, who have all kinds of different religious beliefs about things. So what then is the result of that happens there? Okay, they start proclaiming them as gods. You know, and they want to... Those are the sheets I was just talking about for you guys. So, you know, they want to offer sacrifices to them and, you know, and so on and so forth. So we see a whole different response here from these Gentiles or pagans than we do from the Jews, right? So, you know, at this, what's the approach that Paul and Barnabas take in terms of teaching them, these pagan Gentiles, the gospel? Okay.
No.
All right. Okay. All right. First of all, they're trying to stop them from, you know, worshiping them as gods, right? Okay. And then what else do they do? Well, as far as the teaching part here, what's their approach to this? Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about this God from a perspective of nature. Now, why would that be effective amongst this group of pagans? Okay, first of all, they don't know the Old Testament, so, you know, if they were trying to approach them the same way they did the Jews with the history, it wouldn't mean a whole lot, would it? Okay? So why does the stuff about nature mean something to them, Chuck?
They have a God.
Yeah. Yeah. Their whole religious system was primarily built around nature. They had gods for everything, you see? Steve?
Yeah, just the observation. The Greeks had made going back, you know, hundreds of years. Whenever they saw something, they explained it by creating a god, you know, that did this,
right?
And a god that did that, you know, lightning, you know, thunder.
Yeah.
You know.
If we had a hurricane, then you know the gods of the sea are angry at us, you know, and so forth.
Right. So nature is just a common human experience.
Right. Right.
So he's drawing on something that they've experienced and something that they can't argue with.
Okay.
You can't argue about whether or not it rains.
Right.
You know, these kinds of things.
Okay.
So he's using something that they've experienced and saying, well, these things have a source, one source.
Right. Instead of these multiple sources of all these gods that you believe in, let me tell you about where this stuff really comes from. You see? So he's appealing to their passion for these gods, isn't he? See, their belief in them and so forth. But also he's appealing to the fact that they really don't know, you know, where all this stuff comes from. In other words, this is just what they believe, but, you know, it's kind of, you know, is that really what takes place? You see, in other words, he's gonna take advantage of the fact that there's an awful lot of uncertainty in this whole belief system. You see, to the degree that, again, every time something happens, you know, that's out of the ordinary, then you know there's a new god that we have to have. Obviously, there's this new god that's mad about this or he's doing this, you know, and so forth. And that's why they end up with so many gods, you see, because there's still a tremendous amount of confusion, even though this has been going on for long, long time, there's still a tremendous amount of uncertainty. Okay, but the point here is, and as we look at some of these questions on here, as we were talking about, as Pat said, why did he not use the Old Testament scriptures that he did with the Jews? Well, it's not going to be effective because they don't know anything about the Old Testament scriptures. So then what do? You go and you talk about things from a perspective that they can relate to. And in that way, you get their attention. Okay. So what are some of the messages that we need to take away from this this experience here in terms of us being able to teach other people? Exactly. We've got to find out where people are and take them from that place, you see. Meet them where they are. What does that then require us to do? You've got to get to know them. You've got to ask questions, okay? You see? In other words, don't be afraid to ask somebody. If you have the opportunity to sit down and study with someone, you set up a Bible study with, don't be afraid to just simply ask them, how much of the Bible do you know? What do you know anything about the Bible? You see? And people are, I've never had a problem with people, getting offended because I asked them, that or what have you. I've always found it to be that they appreciate, finding out, and so forth. And sometimes they'll tell you, I don't really know a whole lot about the Bible at all. I've never really read the Bible. And some people have said, I've read the Bible too, but I don't really understand a whole lot about what it says. You see? But the point is, you've got to find out where they are. You see? Another thing that I do with folks, when I'm trying to study, again, it's on this whole thing of finding out, where they are with things. I like to, when I'm studying with people, is have them read the scriptures. You see? Have them read a passage, here and there. Well, sometimes that can be a problem. Why? Well, exactly. There's a lot of folks out there that just really can't read. And there are folks that can read, but they can't read very well. And then there are folks that just simply, they're kind of embarrassed. They don't feel comfortable reading. You see. And the last thing I want to do is have a Bible study with someone and then make them really uncomfortable, by asking them to read, and then they're stumbling through and it's embarrassing to them and so forth, because then they may not want to continue doing that. You see? So again, this all comes in that whole idea of finding out about this person, you see? Find out where they are with these different things. Colonel?
One thing that the minister in Japan told me to do before I answer a question is to try to find out why the person has this particular question. Sometimes when people ask the question, we know the answer, and we want to give them the knee-jerk answer.
Right.
But sometimes the answer that we have prepared in our mind is not actually what they need to know or we're right. trying to find out. So if you have a question like, did Jesus really come back to life? And, they were knee-jerk reaction. Yes, he came back to life. Right. He raised on the third day. But sometimes if you ask people, Have you ever read anything in the Bible
right.
about that? Have you heard any challenges to this idea? Figure out why do they have this particular question?
Right.
Because that will help you figure out the answer that they need, not
right.
necessarily the answer that you are thinking.
Well, again, it goes back to the whole idea of where are they? Where are they in an understanding about this, and why is that question important to them, or what have you? And so forth. So, in part of this is a matter of, I think one of the most important steps early on is to find out where this person really is. See? And that's, exactly what Paul and Barnabas are doing here. They understand their audience, basically, is really what we're talking about here. So the more you understand about the person, then the more you can effectively teach them what the scriptures are saying. And so they're going to ask you about those things, and then you can inquire, okay, well, tell me what your understanding of it is, at this point. and get a little bit of information from that and say, now, you know, let me show you what the Bible says about that, you know, and go back to that kind of a thing and share that with them. But as you're talking with folks, another part of all this, it's almost like, you know, what I try to do with folks is in a sense kind of conduct an informal interview. You see, I want to get to know some things about this person, because also as I'm studying with them, if I know what kind of work they do, for instance, or what kind of hobbies they have, then I can oftentimes take those particular things and use them to apply the scriptures in their life in a very practical way, something that they can, you know, they can relate to. And using illustrations and things of that nature in how to apply the scriptures, they can relate to it. If I'm talking about, you know, this person that, you know, does this particular kind of job or what have you. You know, like Chuck over here is a, you know, he's a brick mason, you know, so when we're talking about, you know, doing things, we talk about it from a standpoint of maybe building things, you know, and how you, you know, things you have to take care of when you're building things and measuring things and having a baseline and stuff like that. And so you use, you know, things like that, you know, to hold that person's interest and to show them how the scriptures relate to them personally in that kind of a way. Okay? So that's, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're really looking at and talking about, you know, in this way. So, any thoughts or comments so far on this, Ray? Absolutely, absolutely. And being sensitive to, you know, where they are. But again, don't be afraid to ask the questions, you know, of them to find out where they are with things and so forth.
Gives you a chance to follow up, you know, gives them the answer and say, well, what did you think about what we talked about last time? You know, when do you think you could be free for another thing?
Right. Well, we've oftentimes, you know, we've talked about that very thing. As I've said, sometimes the best answer you can give someone is exactly that. I don't know, but I'll find out for you. But that's sometimes the best answer in the world to give to people. But we have to do Judy.
Well, Well, and to pick up from what Carmen was just talking about, it also shows whoever you're teaching that you are not above them. I'm still learning myself, so let's do this together. And I think it creates a bond between you and the one you're trying to teach. So they don't feel awkward or, you know, I'm pretty dumb, I don't know nothing about this.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I have oftentimes said, I'll say it again, to me, the, you know, my philosophy, and I go back to, you know, God's instructions to Moses when he was giving him, you know, the law and everything, and he constantly told him, write these things down. Well, why did he do that? So you and I would have it today, okay? That's why he had him write it down. I don't have to try to remember everything there is in there. What I do need to know, though, and I've mentioned this to you before, what's the most important thing? Not necessarily knowing it all, but being able to do what? Be able to find it. I need to know how to find what I need. And if I can do that, then I can find the answer to whatever the question is. You know, I kind of developed that philosophy back when I was a trooper. You know, we had all the, you know, we had two law books, you know, that we had to learn stuff out of. And it's like, there's no way I can remember all that stuff. But I know how to find it. Someone comes in, people are always doing, a trooper, what's the law about so-and-so? I don't know, but I'll find out, you see. You know, I know how to find it. And that, to me, is one of the most valuable things that you can do is know how to find it. Know how to use resources like concordances and things like that, Bible dictionaries and so forth, so that you can find out those answers, you see. Then you don't have a problem being able to tell someone, I don't know. But I'll find out for you, you see. And next time we get together, we'll talk about that. Make sure you write yourself a little note about what the question was, you know, so that you can go and find out, and then you can come back next time and you'd say, remember last time you had asked me about so-and-so, because otherwise you may, if you're like me, you'll forget, you know. And then you show up the next time and you've completely forgotten about that question they asked you and you don't answer it. Well, then what's that going to do? Well, he didn't really know, and he's not really that interested, but so find out, Judy.
You know, even having to go to somebody else and letting the one you study know about it that you have to do that is a very impressive thing. This happened to me with my cousin when we went down to Tennessee, and I had to call you. Mm-hmm. I knew the scripture, but I couldn't remember where to find it.
Right.
And when I said, well, let me talk to our preacher, and wow, you can just up and call him. I said, because
we have a direct line, hotline there.
We work together. Yeah. In order, and we all still learn, and it was really impressive to her. So there's nothing wrong with them saying, hey, wait a minute, let me call so-and-so. I know they can help me find where this is at, and then study together. This is on the spot finding what you need to know, but there's more people.
Yeah, there's resources that are out
there.
And I think that was the cousin you told them, then that you were telling them, I'll call my preacher, and they said, wasn't he busy? And you said, no, he only works on Sunday and Wednesdays.
No, I didn't.
Oh, Chuck. And I'm fallible just like you are. I make mistakes and I don't know everything and so on. Yeah, exactly. I do that? I'm constantly.
When you're teaching, they're looking for the things about you. They let that and then be a, you know.
Yeah.
That's one of the most important things. And I'm watching you when you study with me. I was listening, I was taking it in, and I was impressed by that.
He's constantly going. He is so dumb. I know you were. That's why I've been studying with you for so long. Chuck and I still study together. And how long have you been a Christian? For 7 years? Is that 7 years? We still study together just about every week. Training. But that's exactly right. I mean, it's a matter of, and there's so many, how many times have we studied and we're going, I don't know, you know. But we find out.
Meeting people where they are. You don't have to do this in a Bible study
session.
You can do it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Well, what you said really helped me. Can you tell me more about this? Is there something else you can give me? And this opens the door to so many things.
Well, you know, if Christianity is who you are and it's a part of how you live your life every day, then those opportunities are just there all the time. Rather than if it's just something that I do, you know, kind of a thing. And people notice that's how you are. And so it's part of your conversations, and you have opportunities to bring the scriptures or to bring Christ into your conversations because that's how you are. And people oftentimes want to know, well, what makes you tick? Why, you know, why do you believe that? Or why, you know, and you have those opportunities. Those doors are open. But if you're living it in your life and people see that, then it does create a lot of opportunities. So, you know, all of these kinds of ideas, you know, that we need to take away from here to be able to, you know, to use those as we're studying with people in our Jerusalem. Okay? Now, you know, there's other times when, you know, the situation might require that we, you know, not only just call for help, you know, in terms of, you know, a particular question, but it may be that the person that we have that we're studying with, you know, maybe, you know, they're beyond me. I don't know, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe I need to take them to someone who knows a little bit more about where they're coming from. You see, those are resources again, you know. I know, you know, when I first, you know, met Cindy and we started studying everything, you know, we had that happen because, you know, I was raised Catholic and, you know, she's, you know, trying to understand all those really strange beliefs and practices that I had, you know, had all my life, you know, and she's just kind of like, are you crazy? You know? But one of the things was there was an emotional tie there, wasn't there, Cindy? You know, and it was kind of difficult. It kind of sometimes got difficult for us to really study the two of us because we were so emotionally tied to one another, you know, and you know, she was frustrated at how stupid and ignorant I was about the scriptures, you know, and you know, here I'm struggling with trying to, you know, let go of all these things that have been, you know, just driven into me all my life. And so she did what I think is the best thing to do. She, you know, she took me to the preacher and said, study with him. I want to marry him, you know. but realizing that, you know, okay, maybe I'm too close to this or that, you know, and I've had people that, you know, have you know, come to me and said, hey, I've got this friend of mine or this, you know, person that's, you know, they're Catholic. You know, and they know in my background Catholic, go, okay, bring them on. Let's, you know, I can relate to that person, you see. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that we need to be able to use. But again, that comes from being able to know something about this person. Where are they? You see? And use those different resources in that way. Colonel?
It also takes some patience because not everyone would talk to you like the Ethiopian.
Oh, exactly.
It's not going to be that simple.
Exactly.
But where's the water?
Yeah.
You know. Not going to be like that.
Oh, absolutely. I had a fellow in college when I was at OVC, one of the guys that I was in class with, one of the other students, Bible major, that had a fellow that was getting ready to marry his sister. And he, this fellow was Catholic. And so the, you know, the other Bible student got with me and he says, you know, he knew I was raised Catholic. And he says, I need you to help me. So I got to study with this guy. He says, my sister wants to marry him, and I don't know nothing about Catholicism. So, you know, yeah, let's go. So we spent several weeks studying with this guy, and after all this time studying, you know, he just basically is like, you know, yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I see that it's written there because I didn't pull any punches with him. I let him know, but he just wasn't interested, you know. And that's basically where it came to, you know, but because you're going to have folks like that, that you show them all these things, and they're just basically going to go, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. You know, okay, what's my job? All I got to do is plant the seed. I got to teach them, okay, do that. Loris?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And they're not going to let go of some of those things.
Sometimes it takes to send them back to their original source. when we studied, or rather I should say Mike studied with Chris, he already had a good understanding of the Bible, and he got hung up with certain things that we know is commanded by God mm-hmm. to do during the worship service on Sunday. The Lord's Supper was one of them. And he couldn't understand it. And so Mike studied with him in the Bible on this, and then sent Chris back to ask his preacher why mm-hmm. they weren't doing this. Well, he couldn't give him an answer to it. Chris Black told him, he said, if you can't answer this, I got to go to where I can get answers to these questions. Yeah. So it sometimes is a combination of different things that you have to use. And in the end, though, it's the scriptures that are going to convict
that's
the person
exactly right.
on it by the man. By
exactly himself. Right. And that's, you know, basically the bottom line is what we have to do is, again, you know, our job is not to, you know, convince someone, and if we don't, then we failed. Our job is to teach them. We've got to let the Word do the convicting of folks. Just show them what the Word says, you see, and let the Word convict them. And if it doesn't, it's their choice, and, you know, you shake the dust off your feet and you move on to another person. You can't look at that as, you know, well, again, see, those are the kinds of things I think that keep us from doing, because we're afraid we're going to fail because, why? I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know enough Scripture. Well, they ask me something, you know, and we look at that as, if I don't, then I'll fail. No, you didn't fail. Just show them what the Bible says, you see. Just use the Scriptures. Let the Scriptures do the work.
And Russ, I think even though they denied and don't want to be taught at a specific time, it's a good thing to let them know that the door is always open. If you change your mind, I'm still here.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of people, you try and try and try and nothing happens. But if you let them know the door is open, there will always arise questions that they come back at you with. Right. And you may never see them being converted in your lifetime, but you never know what
right.
happens
exactly.
later on down
plant
the road.
Plant the seed that's
plant
there,
the seed
you know. You know, I've told you about a number of different Jehovah's Witnesses that I've studied with over the years, you know, and I've never been able to have a second Bible study with any of them, but I planted some seed there, and I have no idea if any of them may have gone back and, you know, really looked at that and, you know, and so forth. So you don't know. All you've got to do is you teach them the Word, you see, and let them know. So, you know, as we look at this whole thing here, you know, again, bringing this to our situation today is we're dealing with people in our Jerusalem, okay? And one of the questions, you know, on here, under C here, okay, what should be the content of our message? And then the second one, what might be some of the results if we begin to spread the Word using methods appropriate to our culture? You know, those are some of the things that we've got to consider. Take it out of this situation back here, and let's talk about our Jerusalem and the people that you have in your Jerusalem, and so forth. So, any thoughts on that at all?
I think our message should still be Christ and Him crucified.
Okay.
But we pick it up on wherever the people are.
Okay.
You know, whether they're sick or personal problems that they have, you pick it up from there. And I think you got to create a relationship with the person you want to study for, like you said before. You can't walk up to a stranger and start preaching Christ. There's got to be a connection between you trying, what you're trying to teach and where they are in their life
right.
and how much that will benefit them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, you know, as we look at this kind of thing, you know, we think about the results, you know, is the question on here. We have to understand and remember that sometimes the results are going to be that the person is not going to accept it. You know, Alan, you know, over at our men's Bible study on Wednesday morning, he's quit coming to the study. You know, he quit coming. He just, you know, he got to a point where, you know, he's stuck on his beliefs, which, you know, are you know, not what the Scriptures are really teaching. And we've, you know, talked about it and you know, finally he just, you know, he's not interested anymore. So, you know, we just have to realize, was that a failure on our part? No, not a bit. You know, we challenged him and showed him what the Scriptures teach. But he's, you know, as Dolores said, he's already got in his mind, this is what it is. And he's not open-minded to it and all. And so, you know, okay, we move on. See, right?
It's a big thing, the educating generally, if you bring it to head, Paul talked about it in the first tendency that he got before, about those people that above who sometimes have our minds still well on
that. Right.
His mind is still well on that, and he doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
He heard what he wanted to hear, and he couldn't get through to him, so it's grained in his mind.
Right.
You know, from here on out. If you're going to be convicted in your heart, this heart, if you're going to be convicted, you're going to have to be open minded.
Right, exactly.
And willing.
Exactly.
So, the problem most a lot of people, they don't want to admit when they're wrong.
Exactly.
They want to hang on to their wrong.
Right, but I tell you, you're right, Ray, but you know, there's another problem here that this kind of goes into knowing where someone is at with things. Another problem that's attached to that is, and I've run into this with several people, is the whole idea that if I admit that this is right, then I have to admit that my mom and daddy are not in heaven, or my grandparents are not in heaven, or whatever the case may be, because you know they didn't follow this. And that right there is a big obstacle for some folks to get over. You know, that's a high hurdle for some, you know, I know what it says there, but, you know, and so it's that emotional attachment to a loved one, you know, that and you sometimes you have to help them kind of work through all of that. And one of the things that I've discussed with people, I go, you know, to the rich man and Lazarus, and I show them and say, look, you know, I don't know what the situation with your, you know, parents or your grandparents or whatever is, but if, and I'm not saying they are, but if, and that's what you're afraid of, that your parents, you know, not go to heaven, they would be like this rich man, and they would be wanting you to follow the truth here. They would be telling you, you do this so that you don't end up where I am. You see? But that's a really tough emotional thing for people sometimes. We're out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, we are out of time. But like what Kelly said a while ago, you drop those gems of wisdom
right.
in the Bible whenever you can.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing before we dismiss this class, Peggy left to pick up this woman that we've been trying to get here for the last couple of months. And she was crying on the phone last night. She said, please don't let them judge me.
Okay.
When you see her, you'll see why. But
all right.
Show her some love. I'm praying that she doesn't back out or take
okay.
a gift of love. Just show her some love.
All right. Okay. Pick up a lesson number 8. We're gonna go on from this one, and we'll start lesson 8 next week. All right. Thank you all very much. And today.